Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski. Everything sucks. Getting a bit of a late start tonight. Well, hopefully it's not a long episode. You know, when things are really good, there's less sourness just by default. The last half hour of SmackDown is some of the greatest WWE TV that I can imagine. 30 minutes of pure bliss, almost heaven. Preceded, of course, by 90 minutes of hell, of shit, of bad. What good there was in the first 90 minutes was immediately counteracted by bad stuff. I've said it for months now. What Roman Reigns is doing on SmackDown is gold. It's been gold with some hiccups here and there, but it's been gold the whole way through. And I think it severely raises the batting average of SmackDown as a whole. Last night was no different. It really does feel like Heyman is absolutely, intimately involved with the telling of this Roman Reigns story, and Roman is there vetoing any bad shit that comes across his door. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that shit. Nope. And Heyman's got final say. And the rest of the show is just, it's a crapshoot. An absolute crapshoot. When we get to talking about the rest of the women, because over on Raw they're doing something interesting with Charlotte Flair and getting her paired, it looks like, in a storyline with Sonya Deville, which I'm not opposed to at all. Rhea Ripley, they can't figure out what they want to present her as, but I'm never going to be worried about her. She's a star. She'll be fine. They continue to devalue Asuka, but what else is new? And on SmackDown, Bianca Belair is just a shining light. And she's got right now ahead of her two fantastic foils for her to wrestle against for a bit on SmackDown. And that is that's good. The rest of the women's division on Raw and SmackDown is a complete shambles. I can't imagine it being in a worse position. I mean, obviously I can. It's Vince. But considering they're not doing like a bra and panties angle every week, I can't imagine it being worse off. The very best, most compelling people that you have on your roster are either being booked into the ground or not on TV. The women's division outside of the very top on both shows is it's an utter shambles. But how would we be surprised by that when we learn that WWE straight up tells the women who are working for them, women's wrestling doesn't make money. Nobody wants to watch you. So be grateful we put you on TV at all. Not you personally, because we're not putting you on TV. But be grateful that your gender has a place here at all. So we'll talk about that in depth. But we will finish with the greatness, and start with the crap. The best part about the beginning of the show, the first 90 minutes, is that they're really trying to make this whole Daniel Bryan versus Roman. If Daniel wins, he's the champion. If he loses, he's got to be banished from SmackDown. They're making that into a really big fight feel thing. They're interviewing people. Who do you pick? Who do you choose? It's a big deal about all this stuff. And I think that's good because it really should be. It felt that way already. I think we all kind of knew what was going to happen, right? Nobody really expected Daniel Bryan to win. And I think this felt like we don't know how much longer he's under contract here. We want to get him on the other shows so we can wrestle some other people because A, that's what he says he wants to do, and B, that's how we make the most money, I think. We get more interest in Daniel Bryan's farewell tour. He wants to wrestle everybody, and I feel like that's going to be a thing people are going to want to tune in for. So he's already gone through everybody on SmackDown. So let's put him over on Raw, probably, unfortunately. I'd love him to go to NXT, too. Maybe he shows up on NXT, wrestles a couple of people, but I think his big deal, he's going to go on Raw and wrestle some people on Raw he's never gotten to wrestle before. Some diamonds in the rough. And then we'll see where it goes from here. He wants to go to fucking Japan and wrestle people in AEW. We'll see what they even let him, you know. I mean, I'm sure the they're going to like back several armored cars up on his lawn and open them up and say, you can have all the money. Because they can't let him like let his contract lapse. So the next day, he's free to go wherever he wants. They can't let Daniel Bryan do that, or he's going to show up on Wednesday wrestling Kenny for the fucking belt. Are you kidding me? Like, if they let him out the door, he's going wherever he chooses. He'll sign a match-by-match contract, and he just wants to fucking wrestle everybody, and everybody's going to tune in for that shit. So I think they're trying to give him everything he wants so that he has no reason to want to leave. I think is what they're trying to do for Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan, I think, is milking it for everything he can. Why wouldn't he want to go to NXT and wrestle Pete Dunne or Kushida or fucking Gargano or whatever? You know what I mean? Adam Cole again. Like, I think he had an Adam Cole match, right? Ah, just some fucking great stuff that you can do with him. So the big fight feel is good. It's necessary. It makes it feel well, like a big fight. The other stuff that was presented as this is what's going to happen on the show was a Intercontinental title match. Rematch from WrestleMania where Big E facing Apollo Crews for the title, and nobody believed there was going to be a clean finish here. Did anybody believe there was going to be a clean finish? Even if Apollo got the pinfall, it was going to be because it was a ref bump or something, some distraction. But Big E wasn't going to win this match. No, they still have WrestleBack Mania Lash to book to. So going into the IC title match, even though I think that Apollo and E have done a great job with their particular parts of the feud, you can listen, your mileage may vary on the Apollo Crews thing. I don't think it's a great gimmick. I think he's playing it to the absolute best of anyone's ability. I appreciate that they're trying to say, listen, the guy that you thought I was before, that's not the real me. The real me is this guy. Now, is that kind of bullshit? Yeah, but at least they're explaining it that way. And not like, I hit my head and I woke up and look at me. Now I'm the Prince of Zamunda, you know? Everyone knew going into that match that it was going to be Commander Azeem or whatever the fuck his name is. The Commandant, the Commodore, whatever the fuck his name is. Dabba Kato in a fancy jacket. Everyone knew he was going to get involved. Spoiler alert, he does, but we're not talking about that yet. We're talking about how they're building the rest of the episode. Then it comes out right before showtime, as far as I knew. I didn't see it before, until then. On Raw, there were two. Count them, two. 1/6 woman, 1/6 man. Double feud tag matches. You know what I mean? Like, we're like, I am feuding with you, and the two of us are feuding with you two. Hey, let's find out if we can coexist and have a match. Because that's the only way they know how to book two feuds at the same time. It's not like me and the two of you have an established relationship as being friendly to one another. I am a heel, and so are the two of you. Therefore, we are friends for tonight. Is fucking lazy as shit. And then you do it twice on Monday, once on Tuesday. Like, the match was much better, and it felt like it was still all the same feud, because at least on one side, you had three guys as part of a triumvirate. Legado del Fantasma is a trio. They already exist as together. But it's still booking one feud, Kushida versus Escobar, and MSK versus the other two guys. You're still putting them together. So they did it already. They had already did it three times in 1 week. And they decided, let's do it again on Friday, because we're entirely bankrupt in our minds. We can think of no other way to book two feuds at once. Let's have Bailey and the Dirty Dogs, Zood, Riggler and Zood, because they're all heels, right? At least Bianca gets to work with her husband Montez Ford and the Street Profits, and them as a trio, as an actual faction, I think could be great, because they work really, really well together. This, by far, was the very best of the six-person, two-feud tag matches. By far. Mostly because Bianca Belair is so great. And also because, you know, the babyface has got the win. That's good. But Montez got the pin, right? So you had to pin a champion. You have to pin a champion. Like, if you're gonna do this, you got to pin the champion in a non-title match. That's the only way we got to book to anything, right? They did a stupid thing to start the entire show, though, where it was like a promo parade. Without really the promos, it was just like she was about to introduce, Belair comes out first, she's about to introduce Street Profits, but then the Dirty Dogs come out, and Riggler is like, look at me, I'm a dirtbag. And then the Street Profits come out, and they're about to say something, and then Bailey comes out, and she's like, I don't even need a microphone. I run the show. I don't need to be champion. I don't need to whatever. I don't need a minute at WrestleMania. And then she comes in and she snatches the mic away from Belair, and then she laughs obnoxiously until she's punched in the mouth. And then we're brawling. Like, the beginning of the match is just a hype package. The beginning of the night. For the big main event. And then they do the entrances, and then they go to the first commercial. If you're like, well, I appreciate that they're doing the commercial now, earlier in the night, so we don't have too many commercial breaks during the very long main event title match. That's what I thought too. But no. No. There were lots of commercial breaks during that too. Lemonade, of course, still the official beverage of Sour Grabs. Don't worry, I have more. I will make some before Tuesday. Gotta remind myself to set a reminder on my phone to make some lemonade. So the match is fine. There's a lot of good stuff in it. I really wish they had let Bianca Belair just kick the shit out of Dolph Ziggler. Out of Dolph Riggler. I appreciated that when Zood rolls up Dawkins with a handful of tights, Belair just hits him with the hair whip on the back, and he sells it fantastically because he's a consummate professional, Mr. Zood. And then Dawkins hits his finisher, and then Ford hits his big top rope splash. And I love that Belair is right there with him, and she lifts him from the ground in a way that is tender and proud, and you could really feel the genuine love these two have for each other. More of that. Can we see more of that? Like Montez Ford, there's some bullshit going around this Twitter where the WWE's Twitter says, here's five guys. Who do you think is going to be WWE champion in 5 years, 2026? And one of them is Riddle. It's like, maybe. One of them is Cesaro, who will be like 45 then? And certainly not in WWE by then, right? Cesaro. You'll be able to go somewhere else where they truly respect you, right? Yes. And then who else? Priest is in there, and one other guy who doesn't really bear mentioning, and Jey Uso. Like, what are you talking about, Jey Uso, WWE champion in 5 years? What? Like, I appreciate what he's been doing. As soon as his brother gets back, they're going back in the tag division, and they're going to be tag champions again soon. Like, what? An outside chance. I mean, the answer is Brock Lesnar. The answer is Brock Lesnar in 5 years. He'll be champion, probably. Or Goldberg. The answer is Roman Reigns, because he's never leaving. If he's leaving, he's going to be a movie star. I could see him being champion 5 years from now and being not champion over the next 5 years for a total of 6 months. That's how crazily, perfectly booked he is now as a heel champion. What I'm saying is an outside chance of being WWE champion in five. Oh, Big E. Big E is the one person in that five that I was like, yeah, I could see him being champion in 5 years. I mean, they will have wasted a good chunk of his potential prime if he's not champion until then. But he's definitely the top guy there. Priest is also will be like 45. Like you don't realize it, but he's not a spring chicken either. I'm not saying you can't be champion when you're 45. I mean, look around. But I'm saying, wouldn't it be great if we had somebody a little younger? Somebody a little younger is Montez Ford. I think could be, if he's definitely charismatic enough, definitely is fun to watch, super athletic, a natural baby face. You could easily get him over to the point in 5 years where he's at the top. So yes, use his megastar wife, Bianca Belair, to help him get to that point. I mean, why wouldn't you? Caleb Braxton's backstage, Daniel Bryan asking, he's like, I'm excited about the match. Maybe we should ask Roman how he feels, because I'm confident. I got what I wanted. Roman Reigns one-on-one. I know I can beat him. And when I do win the Universal title, I'm not going to give Roman a rematch. The first shot's going to go to Cesaro, somebody who really deserves it, which is a nice little sentiment. And also, it nicely builds toward the end of the show. Now, Seth Rollins laughs. He's wearing one of his fucking suits. He says, Daniel Bryan giving the first shot to Cesaro. That's very funny. Actually, you know what? I hope he does win tonight, because it doesn't matter, because I know I'm going to beat up Cesaro so bad next week that he's not. So how about let's do it next week, Cesaro. So we're building to next week another WrestleMania rematch ahead of WrestleBack Mania Lash, where there'll probably be another rematch. We get somebody, we don't even know who the hell she is. She's interviewing the Shayna and Nia about everything that's going on. So what that somebody beat us in singles matches? We're a tag team. I'm so tired of our disrespect and how everyone's disrespecting us, both on Raw and on SmackDown. Disrespect, disrespect, disrespect. But she's just saying that, we're the tag team champs for a reason. You beat us in singles matches. That's cute. Try beating us in a tag team match. And then Nia and Shayna are attacked out of the blue by Natalya and Tamina. And it's presented on commentary as like, what a righteous thing they've done. Like, no, I don't mind that they did it, but don't present it as though, like, they're trying to gain an advantage like true baby faces do. Like, that's fucking bullshit. Like, that's not cool. If the heels did the exact same thing, they would be looked down upon as being, like, dirty cheaters. It's the same no matter whose alignment does it. It's not okay because the baby faces did it, and it's not bad because the heels did it. It's a thing that happens in professional wrestling. I would just like it to be reacted to in the same way, no matter who's doing it, personally. So, Natty and Tamina! That's a callback from several episodes ago. They get a tag match. It's non-title because of course it's non-title. And do you think they win? Of course they do. It's non-title match, and it's building towards another WrestleMania rematch at WrestleBack Mania Lash. It is fucking insulting how they continue to book Shayna Baszler. She is only there to eat pins so that Nia Jax can be kept strong. And I ask you, for what? For what and for whom is Nia Jax being kept strong? Like, so much to the fact that, like, it's bad. It's bad. Like, Tamina's bad. Like, there was like, Tamina, Tamina, good for you, Tamina. Tamina's bad. She's been bad her whole career. Like, perhaps if they didn't ask her to do stuff she can't do in the ring, she wouldn't be bad. Her finisher is her dad's, by the way, her dad's a murderer, her dad's top rope splash. Superfly splash. She can't do it. She jumps down vertically and kind of like lands on her knees first. Like, she jumps down and kind of like lands on her feet and drops immediately to her knees and then like lays down on top of the person. Like, a splash is you land chest first on top of the other person's chest. That's a splash. What you're doing is a sploosh. A Superfly sploosh is not very intimidating. Superfly splash, fine. A lot of people have top rope splashes. You have a top rope sploosh. It's insulting. Like, Superfly took a Murder Woman, and then Vince helped him cover it up. I'm pretty sure we all know that, right? Yes, yes. It kind of came out like as he was dying that, like, yeah, he totally did this shit. It's pretty disgusting. So, like, he's a piece of shit, and we shouldn't honor him in any way. But every time you do that to honor your father, Tamina, and you fail so miserably, you desecrate his memory. So, just putting that out there. She's very powerful. Sometimes she can hit a good super kick. Maybe there's another move you could give her to do that doesn't, A, conjure up memories of her horrible, disgusting, murderer, dead father. And B, doesn't make her look like a total fucking amateur doing it. Like, do you remember when Snoop Dogg was on an episode of Dynamite and tried to do a splash? Like, it looked better than Tamina's splashes. Like, most of Tamina's splashes. And Natty, like, I have no time for Natty. Not this Natty. Not like, somebody put me on the dollar tier of the fucking thing, and then I wrote, I'm very angry about it, so I wrote in my notes app, and now I'm being pushed. Have some fucking self-respect. Like, it's a bullshit, stupid thing that got happened, that put on the internet. You got pissed off about it, and that's how you're getting a push? I thought you were a heart. Do you have, like, no pride at all? Like, fucking get a push by being great. You're better than most people, including me, give you credit for. But this, Jesus. Baszler is booked like absolute shit. Tamina gets, Natalya's going to put the sharpshooter on Reginald on the outside, which just tells you how this fucking match is booked. And Baszler makes the save, and then Tamina gets crushed on the top turnbuckle, and Jax tags out. Natty has been neutralized on the outside, and Naya crotches Tamina on the top rope, and then she tags out. Wouldn't you take advantage of the fact that your opponent's been crotched on the top rope before tagging out? Or, like, why would you tag out? Oh, it's because tagging out allows Shayna to get in and Shayna to look like shit and Shayna to take the pin. Oh, okay. So Shayna climbs up to the top rope. I guess she's going to go for a superplex or something, which I don't know if I've ever seen her do. And she gets one headbutted down to the canvas. And then Tamina hits her sploosh. And 1, 2, 3. And then this morning on Talking Smack, Tamina cut a, I want to say promo, but I don't know that it was. She just got, like, Natty came out like, we are, this is the fucking thing, this is goddamn Jesus, this, I don't, you're not going to continue to use this phrasing. We're statement makers, we're bone breakers, we're title takers, is what Natalya says about themselves. Statement makers, bone breakers, title takers, belly achers. That's what you are. You're a belly acher, Natty. Oh, boo-hoo. Somebody said I was only worth $1 instead of $5. I'm going to write in my notes app. Oh, boo-hoo. Somebody push me. Wah. And you got your way. Good for you. You know what happens when my four-year-old daughter throws a tantrum because she doesn't get her way? You know what we don't do? Let her have her way. Because then she knows that all she has to do is throw a tantrum and will give in. There's a lot less tantrums going on in our house because she knows that's not a tactic that works. So maybe somebody should have not given in to your little Notes app tantrum, old Notes app natty. And you wouldn't be in this ridiculous push that you're being given. Perhaps. Don't know. They come on Talking Smack and they say, we're statement makers and throne breakers and stupid shit takers and whatever. And they, and then somebody's like, hold on, I'll handle it from here, Natty. She looks in the camera and she screams words like a word salad. She forgets her lines, fully forgets her lines twice in a 1 minute promo where she's just yelling stuff at Naya through the camera. At one point she says some stuff and I guess Samoan, I'm not really sure. It's definitely not English, or if it is, it's garbled beyond belief. And then she's like, ah, she literally screams and takes her jacket off, her leather jacket off, and throws it on the floor and says, do you hear me? Do you feel my passion? And then she walks away. It's the worst. Like, it's fucking, it's the worst. Like, it's the worst. And then Natty's like, I'm going to go check on her and I'm going to find out what's wrong. Okay. So that's right. We are passionate and I'm going to go check on my friend. And then they leave. And Kayla does talk to Paul Heyman, who looks as though he's seen a ghost. He's horrified. He plays it off as though he says, I don't want to talk about her. She might come and hit me. I might piss her off, which is good for you, Paul, for trying to get this over. But God damn, was that a bad promo? Just screaming into a camera doesn't make you right. I say again, fully aware of the own of the irony of my own statements, I say again, just screaming into a camera doesn't make you right. So we'll talk now about, before we get to the semi-main and the main, we'll talk now about WWE and the women. Now, I said some pretty mean things about Natty and Tamina just now, but that's because I don't respect the way Natty has gotten into a position where she's getting pushed. I don't respect that. And I don't respect Tamina at all. She's not good. She's never been good. If she wasn't related to a murderer who Vince McMahon remembers, she wouldn't be employed. Like, she's bad. She's bad. She's worse than everybody else in WWE's employ. She's just bad. So I know I've said bad things about the two of them. But this next thing that I'm going to be talking about isn't basically saying all women are infallible if they are in the ploy of WWE and should be given more things and better things. No. But how about some? How about some? Mickie James on the, what's it called now? The, oh, God, GAW. I forget what that's exactly called. Anyway, she's talking to Victoria. This is Mickie James. This is going to be a lot of me reading and then me yelling about what I've read. anything I've pitched, they weren't into it. I wanted to find a balance in between. There was this moment where I said, what if we do an all-female brand? If I could help lead that up and have an awesome team of women, we have the talent, tools, and facilities. It would really help all the girls who are not getting television time. This one person says to me, they're never going to do it, ever. Women's wrestling doesn't make money. WWE Evolution was the lowest rated pay-per-view ever in WWE. I get what you're trying to do, but I don't understand why you're fighting so hard for it. You should play the cards you're dealt and see if there's a way to incorporate that within a show rather than fight for it to be its own show. I just realized that every decision they do, a lot of it is business and how it falls in line with business. I'm just disappointed as a whole with being made to feel old with Depends and a walker and the whole ageism thing. I think we missed out on a lot of moments. I felt that because I was asking for this one thing, it was going to come with a price. I'm not saying that's from Vince because he's always been respectful to me. That's from the woman who got sent all of her shit in a trash bag. And like, Vince may not have, like, hey, Vince, is it okay with you if I send all of Mickey's shit to her in a trash bag? Yeah, go for it, pal. That's good. I hate Mickey. I think she's a piece of shit. That didn't happen. But anything that happens on Vince's watch, he's kind of engendered a general shittiness among the people who work for him high up. That they feel like it's okay to be extra shitty because he's never really going to do anything about it. You know, I mean, it's kind of like implied that he's, yeah, you know, whatever. Vince isn't going to do shit about it. So it's okay if I take liberties. Now, maybe because this thing has happened and it became well known, they nip it in the bud and there's a culture change there. But I want to talk about this all-female brand. Like, I was a huge fan of 205 Live at the time, before it is now what it is, where the Cruiserweight champion doesn't even appear on it. Like, last night you had a couple of tag matches, and that was it. Like, they don't really do anything on 205 Live. You could just fold all those guys into the NXT and fold 205 Live, close up shop, and do some storylines for the women across all three brands on their own show in the same fucking time slot using the same crew that you normally do when you know in 205 Live. Okay? I'm sorry to say that. 205 Live has outlived its usefulness. They're not even doing anything with it anymore. Like, they're not like they're having, okay, you got to watch 205 Live because every week we're having big matches and we're having like a round robin tournament that's going to last 2 months. And at the end of it, the one who comes out on top, that guy gets a shot at the Cruiserweight Championship on a takeover, and you got to watch all the matches because it's a big deal. They're not doing anything like that. They don't have like the Cruiserweight, like the 205 Live tornado tag division or something where there's a belt on the line. Like, most of the fucking matches you do over there are tag matches. So why not do that? I'm a big proponent of all the Cruiserweights. You just go to NXT because that's where you can use them. Everybody who's under the 205 limit across Raw and SmackDown should all get thrown over to NXT, and you should do like a really hot Cruiserweight match like they used to do in Nitro. Every week should just start off with a really hot Cruiserweight match. Better what they're doing now, which is fucking nothing. So you could do a women's brand, and there are enough people who are rabid fans of women's wrestling. Like, I don't know, women's, like, female wrestling fans who really love watching women's wrestling. Plus, there's a lot of men who like women's wrestling as well. Just people who like women's wrestling would tune in to watch. If it was the same women, like, you could, here's the other thing, you could have the women's tag titles defended there. You know what I mean? You could book a women's tag division that doesn't require you shitting all over your main roster people on the top Raw and SmackDown. Like, just booking them all in weird fucking shit. Like, who are Nia and Shayna feuding with on Raw? Is it Naomi and Lana? Is it Dana and Mandy? It's both, right? Well, then it's neither. If it's both, then it's neither, because it doesn't not coming across as though you're booking the challengers on equal ground. And my God, we're gonna do a triple threat. That's the only way to settle this. That's not what you're doing. All these women that you fired recently would have a place to have a match, but you know, Evolution was the lowest rated paper. What does that even mean? Like, buys? Are we talking about buys? Because it was on the fucking network. Everybody I know watched it. Had some great matches on it. You had the Mae Young Classic. Those were great. You could do another one of those on the All Women's brand. People would tune in a hell of a lot more than are tuning in for 205 Live now. That it's not viable to have an all-women's brand. You could have actual storylines on there between women who don't get it. Nikki Cross can't get on fucking TV, man. The Riot Squad can't get on fucking TV, man. Put them on this female brand. Have them do storylines over there. Let them at least, like, get some chops in front of the camera, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. This is just, it's not just Mickey James talking about it. Because then you got Carmella, who's on the Bellas podcast. And Carmella is another one who came back and immediately had a pretty hot program with Sasha. Like, I don't know if the program was hot, but she was pushed to the top of that division. And she's been shunted aside. Like, no, we don't have time for you, Carmella. We have nothing for you. Goodbye. Well, Carmella could be on that fucking brand. She could be in a top program on that other women's brand, because you're not using her on Raw and SmackDown right now. If you're not being used on Raw and SmackDown, there's another place you could go over and do stuff. She says on the Bella's podcast, even myself, I would sit at home and watch Raw, and it would be 10 p.m. before I would see a woman on the show. It's like, this is a 3-hour show. What the hell? Even if I'm just a fan, which I am, like, if I didn't work at WWE and I was just sitting at home watching, I want to see the women. That's why I tune in. If I'm waiting until 10 p.m. to see a girl, it's like, what the hell? That's not okay for little girls at home or whoever is watching, waiting for the women. It's like, oh, wow, there's only a focus on maybe one or two women or one woman's storyline. Yeah. She says about the Bellas, like you were saying back when you were there, we had three women storylines on a 2-hour show. And that's when I was still with James Ellsworth. So we know it's a possibility. We know that they're capable of doing that. I think sometimes there's this weird shift. People kind of forget. We need to remind them, no, we're a big part of the show. We don't have to have matches every week. We can do promo segments or backstage segments, even a 30-second insert into the show, just so, hey, here she is. She's represented on the show. Then if people are talking about it, maybe next week we give her a little bit of a longer segment because people want to see that, whether it's me or whoever it may be. She also talked about the fact that she was paired for WrestleMania with Billie Kay, who was released as well. You remember. I don't know what the right or wrong things to say is. All I can speak from is my experience. We were super excited for this story, and I felt like, okay, I'm done with this whole sexy gimmick they want me to do, which is fine. It's fun to be sexy, but I feel like I want to show my personality more. I wanted to show a little bit more of a fun side. And I was looking forward to doing that with Billy. If you remember, this is me talking now. If you remember their entrance for that tag team turmoil match, where it was Carmella being sexy and Billy trying to be sexy and failing miserably. It was really funny because Billy's naturally a hilarious person. Our entrance alone, Carmella says. She was cracking me up. So I was really looking forward to seeing where that was going to go. And unfortunately, we can't do that anymore. Even Peyton, those two are some of my closest friends since they got here. So it was the first time I was really rocked by a release. So like we can even talk about like releasing someone who like Billy and Peyton. If there's a women's show, Billy and Peyton, you're telling me they couldn't get over as like the hosts of the show? They could be on fucking commentary through the entire goddamn show. This women's brand. I'm thinking of all these women that they're misusing and can't figure out what to fucking do with. And I'm booking the whole goddamn show in my mind, and it's great. I'd never miss an episode. It's so shitty, man. They don't put the women on TV. They just don't have anything for them, you see. Nikki Cross, who throughout, again, like Bayley carried SmackDown forever. The only thing we have for you at WrestleMania, you can just do a little talk show segment. The Bellas are going to get over on you, so that'll be fun. Nikki Cross, who was like had all kinds of title matches. She was a tag team champion for a lot of 2020 and 2019 and stuff, and they got nothing for her. She got nothing. Nikki Cross, who could not be more talented. Nothing. The best we got for you, Naomi, is you have to be saddled with Lana as a partner. That's all we got for you, kid. That's all we got. When they called up Bianca Belair and didn't do anything with her for fucking 9 months. Like, how inept are you? This woman who you obviously see as a superstar, you couldn't figure out anything to do with her for 9 months. Like, nothing. Because you don't know, like, because there doesn't make money. Sorry. We only got room for one women's storyline on the show. Sorry, kid. Chelsea Green was released. Another just crazy talented, super creative. You let her, you ask her to do anything, she'll get it over. They asked her to do nothing. She pitched some stuff to WWE Creative because they had nothing for her. Hey, I have some things. So here are the things that everybody was like, oh, this is terrible. It ain't any worse than what's going on Raw or SmackDown. Daisy Duke type character. Fine. I don't know exactly what that means. I'm assuming the shorts are involved, so there'd be a certain demographic that would really like that a lot. But if you're talking about like redneck type thing, like down home country girl, I think that'll work. There's a huge demographic of WWE fans who probably live in states like that, you know? So probably would work. One of them, she says, Dominic's girlfriend. I don't know what they might be doing, but that also ties into the other one everyone likes to talk about when they talk about the things that she pitched, a sexy nun character for Seth Rollins. Now, I don't know exactly the words that she used to describe this, but from what I understand, when Seth was the Messiah, he was at one point trying to expand his disciples. His roster of disciples. Why couldn't there be a female? Why couldn't there be a Serena Deeb for the straight edge society? You know what I mean? Like that kind of a thing. Why couldn't there be her? And you like Seth Rollins being ultra charismatic or whatever. And, you know, there couldn't be a woman who's super head over heels for him and will do whatever he asks of her. And maybe we don't do that, like the sexy part of it, like with him being taking advantage of it, because everyone knows that he's engaged to Becky Lynch and people go crazy on Twitter. when you ever suggest anything that might come between Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. So maybe you don't have him act on it, but you have him take advantage of it. You have him take advantage of it. And whichever, you know, character that he's feuding with that is paired with some woman, you have her go after that woman. There's a lot of things you could do with this woman who is a absolute devotee of the Seth Rollins Messiah and will do anything he asks of her. That could absolutely work. And the other thing that you could do with that, again, this requires them to have done different things. But when Buddy Murphy turned babyface so he could date a teenager, if Dominic also got a girlfriend at the time, and that girlfriend turned out to be Chelsea Green, but actually both her and Buddy Murphy were double agents for Seth the whole time, pitting a Dominic and Aaliyah against their father, you could do something with that. It's possible. There are things there. They just said, no, we don't want to do anything with you because we don't see anything in you, brilliantly talented Chelsea Green. And then the best idea, that she wanted to be an iconic, that she wanted to go in with Peyton. And obviously this is before Peyton and Billy Kay were broken up for no fucking reason, but a triconic, like she's the third member of the group. And she would put on a fake Aussie accent and eventually try to break them up. That's great. That's a great idea. When before she tragically broke her arm and they were going to put her on the Survivor Series team, her name was going to be Victorious. That was what the brilliant thing that creative had for her. Women's wrestling doesn't make money. We can't do an Evolution pay-per-view because it was so low rated. We'll never do an all-female brand because you see how well 205 Live is going. Can't take that off the air. She was coming up with really cool stuff. She had something going with Mickie James. They filmed stuff for it. They did a match, apparently, that never saw the light of day as a team. That can't happen. Now we're going to fire you, fire Mickie James, fire Billy and Peyton because, you know, we can't get them over. But Tamina, you get to stay. We're going to push you to the moon. I can't tell you how incensed I was when I read that quote that somebody had said to Mickie James. Like, you know, women just doesn't make money. Like how utterly filled with rage I was. And I'm like a fat white guy. Like I can't imagine how that would have made her feel as a woman who's been a brilliant wrestler, like an absolute legend in the business. No, sorry, you don't make money. You're a piece of shit. You're worthless. We don't see anything in you. Like that's basically what you're telling this person. Your life's work is meaningless. Awful. Booker T predicts the main event. He picks Roman. Shinsuke picks Daniel Bryan. Kayla Braxton interviews Ray and Dominic. It's just like Dominic, poor Dominic. Like he's a void of charisma. Like nothing. Nothing. Poor kid. He's got nothing. And like will it be nice for the very first ever father-son tag team? Sure. Won't that be nice? And then can we get them? Can we get it off of them immediately and send Dominic somewhere where he can learn how to be a TV wrestler? Poor kid. So, Aleister Black has another one of his vignettes. He says that everyone looks at me and judges me and making assumptions. This is true nature of how I've always lived in this reality. In high school, people like you littered the halls so unaware, lost at a concept of success and adoration that you've been fed. The prom date, the right college, the house with the picket fence. Imagine thinking any of that is real. So, Aleister Black, who's from the Netherlands, went to high school in America and thinks the American dream is bullshit. It's always nice when they let the heels speak the truth. The American dream is bullshit. For, like, I don't know, at least 75% of the population. So anyway, you built the foundation of lies. The father never taught him anything about that. I feel like either he's going in one of these chapters, he's going to kill his father, or we're going to see his father. I don't know who's going to play his father. Really scared about who's going to play his father. You know what I'm scared of? I'm scared of when he actually has a feud with some babyface. And the baby face, like, because, I'm going to rib him. I'm going to get a little joke on him. They're going to pull out a guy, like some 85-year-old guy, and dress him up like Aleister Black's father in the story. Like, hey, look, Aleister, I found your dad. Hey, tell him what you told me. You're a terrible son, and I don't love you. See, I mean, he's not, I'm not saying it. He said it. See, ha ha, gotcha. They're absolutely going to do that fucking shit. There's something horribly wrong with society. Well, again, truth teller. I could help everybody, but I will give you the keys to escape, but I will not do that. Big E is interviewed, but he just says, I'm going to win. I hate these interviews. Like, what are you going to do different? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do different. I'm going to win. Awesome. Thanks. We're glad we had this talk. Like, it was a lot of energy in the promo. It delivered well. That's about it. That's all we got. And, of course, the match is a good match. It's a good match. Apollo Crews and Big E kick the shit out of each other. They work really well together. But because Commandant a Sneeze is there, because the old Commodore 64, because he's there, Dabakato in a fucking jacket, because he's there, when Big E hits the big ending, Dabakato in a fucking jacket pulls him out of the ring. Pulls Big E out of the ring for a disqualification. So then Dabakato in a fucking jacket, he gets in the ring, check on Crews, but Kevin Owens runs in. And he fights Dabakato in a fucking jacket, and then Crews makes the save, and it's 2-on-1. But then Big E makes the save, and Owens and Big E double-team Dabakato in a fucking jacket, and then Dabakato in a fucking jacket, he's able to fight him off. And is very impressive, Dabakato in his fucking jacket. It's very impressive fighting off two guys. And then Sami Zayn appears out of nowhere and hits Owens a big Luva kick. So then it's like 3-on-2. And up until this point, up until the Sami Zayn, I was like, oh, good. Next week we get Owens and Big E in a tag match against against Cruz and Dabakato in a fucking jacket. But then Sami Zayn came out and ruined all the odds. So anyway, they end up knocking all the bad guys, all the good guys out of the ring. And then Cruz and Dabakato in a fucking jacket are standing in the middle of the ring. And Sami Zayn goes over to pick up Cruz's title belt. And he looks longingly at it. And they don't like that very much. So, no, it's okay. Here. It's good. We're good now. We're totally fine. And so then Dabakato in a fucking jacket, he hits Sami with the Nigerian nail. And Sami sells it like he's got a crushed trachea. So good for him. So I thought for sure we were just going for a Cruz versus Big E again at WrestleBack Mania Lash. But maybe we're going to get like a fatal four-way and that's how Big E gets his title back, or maybe how Kevin Owens gets it. But I think Sami Zayn gets pinned in that match, whether or not we keep the title on Apollo Crews or not. I'm not really sure. The Miz predicts Roman Reigns. And then Cesaro accepts the challenge for Seth Rollins. Daniel Bryan, he says, is going to win. Okay, good. Paul Heyman cuts a fantastic promo where he plays off of the whole yes, yes, yes chant. Did Daniel Bryan do this? Yes, yes, yes. Did Daniel Bryan do that? Yes, yes, yes. Did Daniel Bryan do this third thing? Yes, yes, yes. Does everybody believe that Daniel Bryan has a chance to beat Roman Reigns tonight? Yes, yes, yes. Will Daniel Bryan beat Roman Reigns? No, no, no. There you go. Good promo. Very well done by Paul Heyman. He's a master of this kind of stuff. So it's like 20, we're like an hour and 20 minutes into the whole show. And that's when they start doing like introductions. So Bryan comes out first, and then Roman comes out, and he's got new music. It's a momentous occasion. Like, he's been talking about how he's got new music. We've got to wait for it. We've got to get it all perfect. Got to get it perfect before it comes out. I heard it once. I did not hate it, which is that's good for the new music that they've been using for people. I did not hate it. It's decent music. Fine. It's not Bodo, 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 Bodo. It's not that. But it probably shouldn't be. Like, the Shield is long gone. Long gone. Like, Moxley ain't coming back. So Roman still using the Shield music in a way that I think was trying to get him over on the backs of that still. Remember the Shield? The Shield broke up 7 fucking years ago, man. Like, there are children who are in, like, middle school who are huge WWE fans who have no memory of what the Shield was. They have never, they as constituted, have no clue. So I like that they gave him new music. It's fitting, especially, as it turns out, for the match last night. It's so great, guys. It's one of the best TV matches I can recall. So good. I mean, it tells a fantastic story, which is just Daniel Bryan trying to make Roman tap out. And I think that was his thing, was that he's a great technical wrestler, and he really wants Roman to have to tap out to him. Like, that he really wants that to be the way he wins. So he keeps going for that, for the yes lock and for the cross face, and he's doing significant damage to Roman's right arm. Roman kicks out of a big knee with a running knee, and Brian kicks out of a spear. And eventually, Roman, who's been trying to lock in the guillotine choke with his right arm the entire time, can't, because he doesn't have a good enough grip on it. And Brian is able to slide out of it every time. Finally, he locks it in with his left arm. And Daniel can't get out of it, and he can't get out of it. They can't get out of it. He passes out. And that's it. He loses. Great match, though. Too many commercial breaks. Way too many commercial breaks, but, you know, that's a TV match. Best part of this, I have been begging, pleading. Roman Reigns is so powerful. What a great, amazing heel character you've built. He is the most, like, awesomely charismatic, just ruthless heel. Perfect character that you've built for this guy. He shouldn't be winning all of his matches by either low blow or Jey Uso having to run in there and help him out. Almost every match he's ever had as champion since he got the services of Jey Uso, it's been like he won a bunch of matches via dick punch. Then he got Jey Uso to help him. Now Jey Uso runs interference, and at least distracts a guy enough to have Roman win. Like that the Last Man Standing match with Owens, where he had to, we was handcuffed to the thing, and Paul Heyman couldn't uncuff the handcuffs. He won that match with a dick kick to Owens, but it's perfectly legal. Perfectly legal. The cage match with Owens they had on SmackDown. Jey Uso helped him win that. Jey Uso kept him from getting beat at Mania. Jey Uso has kept him, like, helped him win at TLC. Like, that's it. Like, Jey Uso always steps in and wins. He's the best. Roman Reigns is one of the best ever. He's certainly the best right now in WWE. He should be winning matches on his own. He finally did. He proved he was the better wrestler than Daniel Bryan. You ruined my grip with my right arm. Try getting out of my left arm. And Daniel Bryan couldn't. Daniel Bryan, greatest technical wrestler ever. Best pure wrestler in the history of wrestling? I'm talking about pure wrestler. One of the best ever, certainly, in that category. Couldn't get out of Roman Reigns. Put him in the guillotine choke with his off arm. That says a lot about Roman Reigns. And also says a lot that immediately afterwards, I'm done with you. You have to leave, but you're not leaving on your own two feet. Goes out, gets two chairs, going to do the concerto. I should mention, Jey Uso was not at ringside for the entire match. I liked that he wasn't. I wish they had had some kind of stipulation there. I wish Roman had said, not tonight. I don't want you out there tonight. I don't want to have an excuse. If I can't beat him straight up, then I don't deserve to be champ. Do not come out there for this match. Right? I wish they had done something like that. Or have Adam Pearce banish him from ringside. Or maybe he tries to get involved and the ref says, no, you got to get out. Something like that. Him not being there made me think, oh shit, is he like not cleared or whatever? But He wasn't out there for the entire match. So he's going to do the concerto to Daniel Bryan. And Cesaro runs out in his fucking suit. And he's attacking Roman, getting the better of him. But then Jay runs out and attacks Cesaro. And is able to, like, tie him up in the ropes and hold him there. And make him watch as Roman Reigns hits a concerto on Daniel Bryan's passed out body. Get the fuck out, Daniel Bryan, and don't come back. Also, I made your boy watch. Just fucking ruthless. Just great, great shit. And then, today, he releases on his social media a promo he's cutting while he's on the fucking elliptical or whatever. Sweating up a storm. Just amazing promo. He's the best. Right now, he is the best professional wrestler, the WWE superstar. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, he's the best WWE superstar of this era. Now, you can talk about John Cena, whatever. John Cena has been gone. The John Cena has been gone for a long time. A long time. Roman Reigns has surpassed him. And Roman Reigns has a lot more left to give. I won't say best professional wrestler, because then you get like, oh, no, Kenny Omega. Like, I'd love to see Kenny Omega versus Roman Reigns. Kenny Omega's doing great stuff on AEW. But the WWE style of what makes a superstar, that's fucking Roman Reigns. You can't tell me it's not. And here's the deal. As I put over how great Roman Reigns is and how they've allowed him to be this great, I have to say, what took you motherfuckers so long? We could have had this years ago. Go on YouTube. Go to find clips of him from when he was in FCW. He was never in NXT. He got called up to the Big Show before he ever was in NXT. Seth Rollins was an NXT champ. Right when he got called up, Roman and Ambrose, they weren't on NXT. They were still in FCW. Roman's stuff in FCW when he was known as Leaki. Which I think is his actual middle name. But he called himself the Thoroughbred. And he would come out to the ring with like a girl on each arm. One of them was Summer Rae, I think. This is how far that goes back. And he would get interviewed in the ring. And he would just have no time for the interviewer. And he was so good. He was such a great, like, just high status. Fuck you. Why am I talking to you, interviewer, type of heel? He was so good at it. This is years and years and years ago. And the fact that we've had to wait this long for them to let him be this. Jesus. There's an alternate timeline where Lesnar never beats Undertaker at Mania, Mania 30. Maybe to keep him strong, he doesn't get pinned. He attacks Taker with a chair. You know what I mean? He beats up Taker. Taker gets in one good shot and sends Lesnar to the outside, the end of the match. You get a raise Taker's fist. He won, right? He won the match or whatever. So you can still have Lesnar going after Cena, becoming the champion, all that kind of shit. But Taker never lost to Lesnar. There's an alternate history where that happens. And then 31 happens. You can beat Bray Wyatt. That's another discussion to have. 32, he beats Shane McMahon. And the streak is still intact at WrestleMania 33 versus Roman Reigns. And the match happens as it does. And Taker loses. He loses the streak. The streak is broken by Roman Reigns. And Taker sets all his shit down in the middle of the ring. He walks halfway up the ramp. He throws that fist in the air. He sinks through the ramp. And that's the last we ever see of Taker in the ring. He never has another match because it was perfect. He lost the streak. He's done. And who did he lose it to? Roman Reigns. And the next night on Raw, he comes out. Not only has he beaten Taker, but he's also beaten the streak. And Taker fucking retired. And everybody knows it. And he's standing there in the thing, and they boo him for 15 fucking minutes. And he says, "It's my yard now." Drops the mic. And the next time we fucking see him, he's this guy from 2021. They could have turned him then, and it would have been fucking perfect, and we would have gotten 3-4 more fucking years of how great this shit is. But no, we had to, like, figure out, is he a bad guy or a good guy? I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy. Remember that fucking shit? No. He should have been this then. This then. That's what he should have been. And they couldn't see it. They couldn't figure. They had to figure, how are we going to get him over? Man, he is as over as a heel as you. He is perfect right now. I want to see him continue to win matches by himself without Jey Uso coming in to run and help him. No more dick punches. This starts a trend. He's got new music, and now he's beating guys by himself. He proved he can beat Daniel Bryan by choking him out with his off arm. That's a big fucking deal. Build on that. Keep going. The rest of your product across two fucking shows is utter fucking dog shit. Book this man to be as strong as possible. Give me one good goddamn thing to like on Mondays and Fridays. I mean, I like Bianca Belair too, I suppose. But nothing on Raw is good. It just isn't. We'll see what they do with Sonya and Charlotte. But I do not have faith that they're going to book that women's storyline correct. I just don't. So please, just give me Roman being perfect. That's all I need. Hey, now, you know what? And they now they give me all the reason in the world to need to see Cesaro versus Roman Reigns. Cesaro ain't beating him, but it's going to be a fun fucking match. You know what else I don't need to see right now? Considering what they have done with the way they went off the air last night, I 1,000,000% do not need to see Cesaro versus Seth Rollins next week. I don't need it. I don't care. Like, you're just delaying the inevitable. Give me my Cesaro versus Roman Reigns match. That's what you've promised me. I don't need a dalliance in the middle. Let's not dawdle. Let's just... Every time you have another goddamn rematch, it lessens everything. I don't need to see Seth versus Cesaro next week. Just jump straight to the point where I get Cesaro hitting flying uppercuts at Roman Reigns, and he tries to do one too many where he does one of his little springboard uppercuts off the middle rope and gets nailed by a spear. 1, 2, 3, Roman wins clean. I need it. I need to have something good on Monday or Friday. This can be it. Give me what I want. Give me what I want! So yeah, that's SmackDown. We'll be back on Tuesday to talk about how terrible Raw is. I hope everybody has a great rest of your weekend. Stay safe out there. Some good weather coming up through the Upper Midwest. Not really sure what it's going like other places. Hey everybody, did your team have a good draft? I haven't really been a football fan in a long time, but the team that everyone I know here in Wisconsin roots for has disgusted the best player that's ever played for him for that team that he wants out. So most of the people I know, most of the people that I have seen driving around with Green Bay Packers stuff all over their pickup trucks also have a Trump Pence sticker or two. So I don't really follow football anymore, and I'm just kind of happy those guys are sad. So, but anybody, stay out there, stay safe, get vaccinated, and I'll talk to you all the next time. Everything sucks, except for Roman, who doesn't suck at all. He's great, but everything else sucks. Bye.